This is Japan Baseball Weekly, the only English podcast covering all 12 NPB teams. And now, your hosts, John E. Gibson and Jim Allen.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. I'm John Gibson, late on a Sunday night, and with me is Jim Allen. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
It's late. That's all I can say. It's late.
That sounds like post-nap John.
Don't give away company secrets.
Okay, I'm pre-sleep, Jim. Okay.
All right, man. All right. Well, the Giants today announced multiple players infected with the virus. So please think about yourself, but also think about others and try to be safe and remember to avoid spreading if thinking that you are an asymptomatic spreader. Just try to not have too much contact. It still makes me cringe when I see all these guys hugging and squeezing each other after games. And But you got to be safe still. You got to be safe.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah. For a second there, I thought you were going to say, think about the Giants.
Oh, yeah. 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 As close as we can get to them, we have to think about their safety.
Indeed. Yeah. No. Be careful, everyone. And because I guess now is the place to say it. It seems like they lifted the state of emergency in Japan. But they lifted it, but they said kind of like, oh, we're still in it, but we're just not calling it a state of emergency anymore.
Yeah, obviously the world is not calling it a state of emergency anymore because people want businesses to function and people want to get out. But really, I mean, still lives, some people's lives, not everybody. And I know the vaccines are out there, but there's still some high risk demographics out there. And those people need to be thought about as well. So anyway, enough of that. Again, go to iTunes or whatever, wherever you get your podcasts, rate, review, and follow us. So as Jim said, we can have more podcast cred. I still love that.
Like I said, pod cred, but that's all right.
Pod cred, podcast cred, same difference. All right, on this week's show, we've got a chat with Stephen Moya of Oryx. We're going to talk about some of the games. We're going to talk about Oryx. We're going to talk about a little bit of the Central League, the Giants and their cluster, and the Swallows and their cluster with the virus, and handle some high heat. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
All right, so I went through all the hoops and over the hurdles to arrange a telephone chat with Stephen Moya of Oryx, and on Tuesday afternoon, before their home opener against SoftBank, I got a chance to sit down with Stephen. This is his fourth year in Japan. He started with the Dragons, didn't really get much of a chance to play, but he's an outfielder by trade, and I think the last time I spoke to him for the show, in fact, we were talking about the fact that he was doing a lot more work at first base and how it was going to make him a more diverse player, and that one day that was going to help him in his future. And then all of a sudden, after we spoke, I think that was in 19, the Dragons traded him to the Buffaloes. And again, he really didn't get that much playing time with the Buffaloes in 20, but I mean, the season was truncated and blah, blah, blah. So he's starting fresh this year. He played there last year as well, but like I said, truncated season and all that stuff. In 19, he didn't really seem to get that much play. So his third season now with the Buffaloes. And again, he's starting with them. He has a lot of power. He obviously is someone they hope that I'm just thinking about the future. You know, if they get their full complement of foreign players, I don't know where Stephen Moya goes, because I honestly probably imagine or envision more Stefan Romero in whatever role they have for one of the foreign players more than I see Stephen Moya. But, you know, if he hits, and he has been hitting well so far this season, close to 300. Right now, as we speak, he in their win today, they had a 4-0 win over the Eagles up in Sendai today. and he had a couple hits. So, you know, he's hitting over 300, let's put it that way. But it's so early. That's it's you know, you get a couple hits and you can be near 300. But he's the kind of guy, I think when we talked to him before, you could tell he's even in a different language. He's got such a happy and cheerful personality. He's just fun to talk to. I think I called him bubbly before, but he has a really graceful swing and a really graceful way of making everything sound fun. So let's take a listen to Stephen Moya.
Talking to Stephen Moya of the Oryx Buffaloes. Good to talk to you, my friend. It has been a long time. Last time I saw you, we met in Okinawa at the training facility there, the practice field there, and you came around and we did a quick chat. So glad to have you back.
Yeah, man, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, so how has this year or this particular season been for you? Coronavirus restrictions and travel and all that and limited fans and all that stuff. How has it been so far for you the whole year, starting in with spring training?
You know, at this point, we're all kind of used to the system that has been, you know, required for the coronavirus situation.
Mm-hmm.
So from last year to this year, we are kind of like all of us, I can't speak for myself, kind of used to just, you know, wearing your mask, cleaning your hands all the time. And for me this year, it hasn't been any different because, you know, we did the same thing last year. So it hasn't been any different. Just trying to, you know, to get used to the system now. But it's been good. Been good. You know, preparing myself, trying to be ready for the season. We are now in the season and just trying to be healthy.
Okay. How is the fact that you're starting, you know, with Oryx this year? How's that going?
It's great. It's great. Having the opportunity to start, you know, up here to try to win and then help the team win, it's been great. It's a blessing. Every time you are in a place where you can, you know, help and perform to help a team, and I'm glad that I've been given the opportunity to start up here this year.
Now, how did you feel about the trade from Junichi to Oryx?
It worked out for me because I play more here than I did with the Dragons, and here I've been given the more opportunity to play at the big level.
Mm-hmm.
Than I did with the Dragons, that when they usually used to call me up when someone got hurt or certain situation.
Right.
But here I've been more up here. Last year for a whole month I was here, and hopefully I can stay healthy the whole year and performing well so I can stay here all year too.
All right. So now, how do you like the Pacific League, you know, compared to the Central League?
What can I say? The Pacific League is a little bit more U.S.-like pitching. It's more, you know, they throw more fastball. They throw harder. They throw harder than the other side. But it's not easy. Both leagues are not easy. You have to adjust well to what you are given when wherever place you are. Like over there in the Central League, you have to face a lot of pitchers with good command, with great off-speeds. Mm-hmm. And here you have to face a lot of pitchers that throw hard with great command and actually hard off-speeds too. So it's you just need to do your adjustment and whatever you are.
Now, that league obviously has SoftBank, which keeps winning every year, and Lotte is not bad, and Cebu's not bad, but how do you like SoftBank as a team when you guys go up against them? They're so good.
I don't want to take anything from any team. You know, they're good, obviously, and they won several years in a row. But I think we've gotten better too for this year, and I think we can beat anybody. We can play good, and we can beat this guy. we can beat this guy. I know for sure.
Okay. Now, you told me when we did the interview in the Dragons spring training facility, you said, you know, learning to play first base. Actually, you told me that before we did that interview, huh? You said learning to play first base would help you in your future. You were still with the Dragons. And so now is your future. How is your defense at first base?
Well, I was, you know, like I said, even before I became a first baseman, I said, like, I'm going to practice sometimes there because I know that sometime, like, I didn't know it was going to be so soon, but
yeah.
He helped me be on the field more often. Even though I feel like they don't know I can play outfield. I'm an outfielder, naturally. But I've been playing first base, and it's been coming pretty good. I work hard so I can get better because I know that a lot of games are decided there at first base, so I try to be my best so I can help those infielders make their plays.
Now, how do you like playing first base as opposed to the outfield?
I like it. I like you have to be more active at first, and games can go a little faster in the first base, and I like that because you are more in the game. In the outfield, sometimes you go a whole game, even two games, without getting a ball hit to you, not even a single ground ball.
Yeah.
So, but at first base, you always have play from the second base, from the shortstop, from third base to yourself. Like you always have to go somewhere, and I like that because it keeps my mind busy during the game.
Good. Okay. Now you're playing with Adam Jones. Obviously, he has a lot of big league experience, but you have been here in Japan longer than he has. So who's teaching whom?
that's a good question. But you always have to something to learn from even from a 3 year old. You always learn something. So I never say that I'll be teaching him anything. We always talking. We talk about baseball. We talk about hitting. We talk about defense. We talk and we share information. I try to learn from him the most as I can, and I know because he knows I'm here. I've been here longer. He can actually learn some stuff from me. But I mean, I know he's figured out most of the stuff by now that he played last year here. Because the adjustments you have to make is like with the off speed and the fastball and how they work and how they do things here. But otherwise, like, we just share information so we can help each other.
I gotcha. It sounds like fun. Sounds like you're learning from your children when you say a 3 year old.
And you always do. You learn from your children. You learn from all the parents' children. You are always learning. Even from plants, you learn. If you watch close and you pay attention, you can learn. You can always learn and be wiser and get wiser from the things that are around you.
Good advice. We'll go on to the next question. This team, you know, you've got little things that sometimes keep this team from winning. There's a lot of talent on the team. So, well, what has the manager really focused on as you guys try to win the Pacific League or get into the playoffs?
We have to. What he has been trying to do is that do the small things. That try to play because he knows what team he has. So each of us have to play the role at the best we can, so we can achieve what we want, is to win a lot of games to go to the playoffs. So what he's focusing in is just to make that everybody try to do his best at his best capability at that moment and during the game. And shortstop. If you have power, if you don't have power, if you do not have power, you're gonna bunt. If you have power, try to do your part, bring the runs in, do the small plays. Play everybody from the other teams. Try to know who you play against. Like all that, you know, all the small things are that we need to get better at from last year. And I think we got it better because we had a good spin training, and the guys that we are playing in right now are doing a good job. And I think we can keep improving through the year and keep doing that. So I think he's done a good job.
All right. Well, appreciate your time today. Thank you very much. And hopefully we can see you at the stadiums before the year is out. I hope.
Okay, maybe. If they implement all this corona vaccine stuff, maybe it's possible. I'm not thinking about putting that in my body anyways, but let's see.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck. Stay healthy, and hopefully we can see you.
All right, man. No problem.
Thank you.
All right, God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, buddy, thank you very much, and thank you again to the Oryx PR people, and much appreciated. Jim, what stood out for you?
Thanks. Anyway, thanks again, John and Stephen, for the engaging interview. I really enjoyed it. Now, I'm going to have to start calling him Stephen Zen Master Moya.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, I love that. You can learn from a three-year-old. As soon as he said it, I heard the bell ring. I mean, I'm like, I got it. I'm with you. And it's like, I was all ready for it. And it sounded, maybe I'm wrong, but it sounded like it caught you by surprise slightly. Because about a minute, you know, 30 seconds later, I says, oh, I see. You mean like a three-year-old child, which is what he was talking about from the start, I thought.
Yeah, I was thinking his own children that he was learning from. He's
right.
Got two girls.
Right.
And then, I thought, oh, so you're learning from your children is what I assume.
Right. Well, I think he was in general, but three-year-olds in general. And in reference to, and I thought it was a really nifty, melding of the fact that, you know, a three-year-old and his being in Japan for 3 years. And that was interesting. And so, yeah, that. I love that, and I just enjoyed that way. I enjoy a lot of things about the way he expresses himself. The bit, mm-hmm. I like the part where he said, you know, the Pacific League is hard because of this, and the Central League's hard because of that, because it's hard. Baseball is hard, which is, of course, one of my favorite phrases. I mean, it's really hard for me. I can't play it at all. But the point is, you have to adjust well to what you're given. You get different challenges in the different leagues, which we've talked about. And so I enjoyed that. I thought his approach was very philosophical. And I enjoyed that, as I generally do. And I like I just love the expression when talking about playing in the outfield with Oryx. And I love that answer. I feel they don't know I'm an outfielder.
Yeah.
which my answer is, if you don't want to know, you're not going to know.
I was going to say, they probably don't.
they very well might not, because they probably don't care.
Yeah. Too.
So how about you?
Well, obviously, I asked him some tough questions. Mm. In fact, there was one question that I omitted. I just erased everything about the question and his answer from the chat because I don't know. You know, it's a rocky road to navigate. We've got the PR people there listening to the phone call,
right.
Every question and every answer. And I remember that you spoke about leadership on the Buffaloes, and you spoke about it in the prediction special.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of my questions to him.
Right.
Who's the leader? You've got Yamamoto, the star pitcher, mm-hmm. Yoshinobu, and you've got Masataka Yoshida, star batter, mm-hmm. maybe on the Japanese side. And you've got some other personalities. Who's the leader? And he started to answer the question, but he just had so much trouble. Now, I know he's speaking a second language, and I think part of it was, like, as I said, it's a difficult thing to navigate with the PR people listening.
Sure.
But it's also difficult in your second language to say exactly what you want the way you
yes.
want to say it.
Yes.
And so I think he hesitated a little bit, and then he just pulled out of the answer. So that's fine. And I'm only mentioning it because it was an important question, because I love when he said, you know, you know, Adam Jones, I said, who's teaching whom? And he thought, you know, that's a good question. And he laughed first. I thought that was important to mention too as well. So anyway, I spliced that part out and I did want to mention it, but I also really liked the subtle, well, everybody throws a backdoor slider once in a while. And he said it just as we were closing up about the vaccine and saying, you know, I don't know if I want to put that in my body. And I thought, you know, you're a baseball player and I'm sure this vaccine is going to be offered to you before it's offered to the general public. But you go back to, and I know you've covered these events too, any kind of a world-class competition in sports where the athletes come off the field and they are basically herded into or through specific areas, and then they go through doping, the whole process of getting tests and getting samples and all that. And that's what my mind immediately jumped to. Yeah, we don't have a lot of information on what this vaccine could do to athletes because we just haven't studied it long enough. And does it react one way and other in some athletes and a different way in others? So I really kind of thought, you know, that it's important. These guys have to go through the doping process a lot in MPB, not all of them and not every game, but it's out there. It hangs over their heads. And I thought, you know, that's quite a profound statement, even though you snuck it in at the back of the interview, because I don't think it's I think there's a lot of questions about vaccines, the three that are out there already among people in the general public. But for athletes, I think that the questions are the question marks that pop up around their heads are bigger and in bold letters. And some of them are underlined as well, because they have to be so careful about what they take and what they put in their body. So
right.
I thought that was important. And I just really love his passion about the whole, when I asked him about SoftBank, and I didn't ask him particularly, I just said, you know, you've got, that's one of the teams you got to beat, but he took it to mean that they have to beat them head to head as well. And then he went into this, you know, short little, I don't want to call it a soliloquy, but he made this statement about saying that, well, I know we can beat those guys. I know we can beat them. And, you know, I think most of the people involved with our podcast who've been listening for a while, a lot of people who've been on it at times, including Claudio, our buddy Claudio in Toronto, we all know that the Buffaloes have the capability of beating any team. It's just that normally they don't. And that's the issue. And so they had, they had their opportunity to go head to head with them already. We'll talk about it in a few minutes, and they beat them in the first series, and that's good, but it has to be consistent and it has to be strong play. And we know they're capable. That's really not the point. They have to go out and get it done. Mm. So when he said it the way he said, I know we can beat these guys, and, you know, it seemed like it was almost unsolicited on my part, but he kind of got passionate about it. I know we can beat these guys. And I thought that was profound as well, because again, there's a guy speaking his second language, but
right.
He's trying to be sincere, trying to answer the questions as faithfully as he can with the PR guys, you know, essentially staring over their shoulder. So that part I really enjoy, those two little aspects. I think those shouldn't go, without mentioning, because a lot of it was really good, but I thought those two aspects of those two points were really fun.
Yeah, I just the last thing to add is that part about, you know, I know we can beat them. We have the tools to beat them. We have, you know, we have the plans. We have our marching orders. Play within yourself. So those things are all essentials to winning. You know, to any sort of winning organization. Don't try to do too much. Don't step out of, don't step into somebody else's lane. Don't be trying to do more than not necessarily more than you're supposed to, but more than you can be reasonably expected to do, because you got enough on your plate already, you know. And when I think back 16 years.
Uh-huh.
there may be people listening to this podcast who can't think back 16 years. And maybe in 5 years, I'll be one of them. but right now, I think back 16 years to the first edition of the Rock 10 Eagles, and I believe right now they are historically the worst team in Japanese baseball history, at least they're the worst team since the start of the Pacific and Central League. And they weren't that bad, but they were a team that sort of like they lost, you know, they lost that focus that we can beat people if we, you know, if we don't try to be somebody else. If we're not trying to hit on, you know, if we're focusing on the pitches we can hit and then learning how to, you know, hit more pitches slowly but surely, we can make, you know, we can do it. You know, we make adjustments and we do what we can and we'll be okay. But it was like it was a kind of a dumpster fire of a season in the sense that, people with talent were playing worse than they really had any business playing. And the team as a whole was playing worse than it had any business playing.
And it happens a lot. It happens a lot.
It does happen. It does happen. Yeah.
So let's talk about the Buffaloes. They actually had a pretty good week. Like I said, they started out by winning 2 out of 3 from SoftBank. They lost that first game in the series on Tuesday, but they came back to win the next two and essentially have sent the Hawks on a 5-game skid. The first game of the series, it was a 3-1 win for the Hawks, and a couple of mistakes that on Pro Yaku News, Dave Okubo highlighted, but they played sharp baseball the rest of the way. I was pretty much impressed, and I tell you this, I'm starting to like, and I saw him last year in a few games, and you know, didn't really know what to expect because he's a young player, but at second base, Ryo Ota,
yeah.
He can play.
Yeah.
And it's not just because I've seen him get hits and said, oh, look, he's hitting, he can play. I've seen him already hit different kinds of pitches, different kinds of swings in different situations. And that's the kind of thing that when you see it, pitchers are going to have to figure out ways to consistently pitch him to miss those spots because he seems to be hitting those pitches in or every kind of pitch in every kind of spot. I don't want to say every because I haven't seen every at bat, but I just remember last year he had a few hits and I thought, oh, how cute, how nice. And I think he still actually qualifies as a rookie. He's a third year guy.
Well, his first year was basically a nothing because he got hit. He got hit by a pitch in preseason, missed half the season, and then he came up and he didn't play much. And he was a first round draft choice, I think, out of Tendry High School. And his father is a batting practice pitcher for the Buffaloes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a really, and between the time he was in high school and in the start of last season, he really got bigger and, well, he's not going to get much bigger. He's not a very tall dude, but he's much stronger, much more powerful. He looks like a kind of a slightly smaller version of Masataka Yoshida from the right-handed batter's
Well, he's almost 6 feet tall.
Is he? He just maybe it's because he was, maybe I'm thinking about watching him in high school because he sort of seemed like he was small. Maybe.
Well, he's still only 20, so he's still probably growing a little bit.
Could be. Could be. So anyway, that was my impression of him. But I did see him make some nice plays on defense as well.
Defense, yes.
And he's a shortstop, but they've got him at second base because they've got about 12 shortstops on the active roster.
Yeah, that too. That too. Yeah, they still have a collection of undersized players who are out there, but they're producing. Even Kodai Sano, a player I think last year who didn't catch a ball in center field for some reason, and I remember talking about him last year, but he seems to have righted his or fixed some of his problems and is concentrating a little bit better. But I like him. And then Mr. Miyagi, the pitcher, the oldest looking 19-year-old pitcher I've ever seen, Hiroya Miyagi. He pitched today. Wax on, wax off. He waxed off the he was dealing today against the Eagles, and I can't even tell you. 8 innings, score a shutout, yeah, 2
he
hits.
Was sharp. That was the game.
5 strikeouts and 2 walks, and they really didn't come close. They had an inning where they threatened, and he just kind of chuckled and got out of that trouble.
Yeah, he had one on, and he's a lefty going against the Eagles, which means basically he's facing 8 left-handed hitters and Hidetto Asamura.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, usually 7 Asamura and then the catcher, whoever that happens to be.
Happens to be, yes.
Yes. And he threw three pitches to Asamura that he looked at because they were all on the border of the strike zone, and then walked away shaking his head.
Yeah.
So he had that, you know, he had that pinpoint control when he needed it. And then he had just the really easy arm action and good movement on his pitches when that was what he was going for. It was really impressive.
Yeah, he's got it. It doesn't look 19 to me. Somebody check that birth certificate.
Yeah. So I was writing today and I noticed that, of course, in Japan, everybody who signs out of the first round of the draft is called a first round draft choice. He's a first pick. Well, actually, of course, Miyagi was the Buffalo's 3rd pick in the 2019 draft. Because they lost, they were part of, I think, 4 teams, 3 or 4 teams trying to get Takaya Ishikawa, whom the Dragons got.
The Dragon.
Yeah, the slugging third base, high school third baseman. And then they were one of 2 teams trying to get Yusei Kawano, the sidearm lefty, I believe, out of Meiji University, or Hosei, I don't remember, one of those schools in Tokyo. And who I really like, who seems like I like almost as much as other Pacific League hitters seem to like him. They got this kid, and he seems to be the prize of those 3 so far.
Yeah. And I think they're pitching. I was not sure about the rotation and what it was going to look like. And obviously, Yamamoto had no hit stuff on Friday when he blanked the Hawks on 2 hits, striking out 13. Now, there was a discrepancy. I was watching Pro Yaku News, and they said he struck out 13, 12 of them he struck out swinging. But then they later said that there were 2 caught looking, 2 players who were caught looking. So I don't know which one it was, but it really doesn't matter. They weren't hitting him is what they were trying to say. And he looked great after not doing so well on opening day, but he came back in what's considered in Japan short rest because he pitched on Friday the previous week. And then he came back and pitched on Thursday this past week. And so I thought that was interesting that he came back stronger. And I thought, are they shortening the rotation here in Buffalo land? And so I guess that'll be something to keep an eye on.
He said in the Hero interview, the post-game Hero interview, that he asked to come back sooner.
Well, when you ask and you receive, somebody gets pushed to the back of the line.
Well, yeah.
In theory.
Let's say, for example, that on the first, you know, the first 4 games of the season, that Takayuki Kishi said, I'd like to start 2 days, you know, I'd like to start a day earlier. You know what would have happened? I've been like, damn, we were waiting. They were probably going, you want to try? You want to try? You want to try? You want to try? And he's gone, like, you talking to me?
Yeah, it definitely depends on who you are and what team you are and who's in front of you and who's behind you. But he's the ace. So yeah, he wanted to come back early and he did, and he pitched really well. And I like Daiki Tajima. I like what Hirotoshi Zenshin Masui did when he won a game from the other day with 5 strong innings. So yeah, I mean, rotation wise, I think they can hang and handle what goes on in the Pacific League. But Adam Jones hasn't been spectacular. He hit his first home run was pretty massive, but he has not been great. And I'm sure he learned a lot with last year's experience, but he's got to put that together. And then Yoshida, we talked about earlier, he, you know, one of the games that they goofed up when they lost to the Hawks, Yoshida caught a ball in shallow left foul territory. And I don't think he thought that Yurisbel Graciel was going to try to score on that ball. It was a fly ball, but Graciel took off, and Yoshida just kind of, just with no intent to get the runner at the plate, just kind of lofted the ball back toward third, and Graciel ended up scoring. It's plays like that that they really can't afford to make on a consistent basis, which you know, they have, quite frankly. They have been doing that, and that has they've been the blunder Buffaloes. And as long as they stop doing that and play sharp, and it doesn't have to be perfect because no team's going to play perfect, you know, all the time, even for a game. But just limit those mistakes. Don't make the big mistakes. I think they're going to be able to compete. But like I said, I predicted they were going to stumble their way to fifth. I mean, injuries can – I think you had them fifth as well. Injuries can play such a big part of what goes on and with teams. And you know, they've got, like we said before, the little army of small players or undersized players, and they just run them out there. And like you said, supposedly, you know, they came up as – well, just like Steven Moya, they're not even aware some of these guys are not outfielders. They just put them out there. Hey, you're fast. You can catch. Go out there and play an outfield position. So it does require a little bit less thinking than the infield – positions, but you still have to plan, you know, what do I do when the ball comes to me? If it comes to me this way, I'm going to throw the ball here. If it comes to me this way, I'm going to throw the ball to this base. I need to hit the cutoff man, blah, blah, blah. So it's not as easy, but still, yeah. As long as they function as a group, that's all I'm hoping.
You know, he didn't, Steven didn't talk specifically. I mean, he alluded to manager Satoshi Nakajima. But I think that was his thing about Nakajima is the, you know, play within yourselves, do your job, and, you know, be competent at the little things, do the little things. And
yeah,
I think that was really the thing, because the Buffaloes were, well, the Buffaloes are the Buffaloes, and we'll talk about that more later, because you know we're going to talk about it, so we won't burn that torch at both ends right now.
No, we won't. All right, let's look at some of the other teams. Now we had, I mean, the Rakuten looks good to me. They won this series against the Buffaloes, but it wasn't easy, and I like what I've seen from them. The rookie, Takahisa Hayakawa, didn't have his best day, but he's still a rookie. He's not going to go through and win 20-some-odd games, I don't think. But so he took some lumps, a couple lumps. Yoshida got him for a home run today. But I like the way the Eagles look, and it's no surprise. I mean, I think in the prediction show, a lot of us did. We just didn't buy into the fact that this team was going to win the Pacific League. But everybody thought it was a playoff team, at least, I think. And that's the way the guys have looked so far. And again, it's so hard early on right now to compare these teams or to think about what the teams will look like when their full rosters with the imports are out there on the field. It's, you know, obviously, and we'll get to the DeNA Bay Stars later on, but it's impacting teams at different levels. And for me right now, I think the Eagles probably aren't being too heavily impacted, although the power that we didn't think was going to be there really isn't there. And I'm not sure it's going to change.
I don't think that's going to change either. I don't think Rosny Castillo is going to be the power hitting guy.
Yeah. So, but I do like the start that the Eagles have gotten off to. What about the Lions? I want to say I'm surprised, because I had maybe lesser expectations, but they had some injuries as well, and they swept the Hawks at Fukuoka. And I was reading an article today. It's the first time since 2004 that they've swept a series from the Hawks at Fukuoka. So that's a big deal for them. And they did it with, you know, Shuta Tonosaki, a terrific player. He's out with a broken bone in his foot. He got hit by a pitch on Saturday. And what's the Chinese? Is he Chinese or Taiwanese?
He's from Taiwan, Wu Ninting.
Thank you for saying the name. He was tearing it up this weekend.
Yeah.
And that's just such a big, I mean, you know, I always talk about, you never know when a player is going, the light is going to go on for a particular player. And I'd always say, hey, these guys are not cookies. You don't put them in an oven and you bake them for a couple of years and then expect them to go out and be what you projected that they would be.
Just a note to you, John is good cookies. At baking. John is good at baking, and he doesn't bake his cookies for a couple of years. He bakes them just the right amount.
Thank you. And I bake banana bread and other stuff. And I make pancakes and waffles. And anyway, yeah, we gotta when this crazy pandemic is over, you gotta come over.
Yeah, stop it, you crazy pandemic. Get out of here.
But yeah, these guys just develop at different times, and it's difficult when we go through our Pacific League predictions and all these things. We can't say, okay, well, this is year four. You know, it's really time for this player to show up and be the player we expected him to be. And I'm like, you know, it's hard to do. And all of a sudden, you know, I've seen Wu come up and have some flashes or some swings, but he really has not done anything worthy of staying on the first team for a lengthy period of time. But now you see some of the adjustments. He hit a home run today, and he just looks like a professional hitter all of a sudden. All of a sudden, he looks like you can't.
Yeah, he's hit two home runs in four games. He hadn't hit a home run in about 200-something plate appearances before this. Although he basically has not had an opportunity to adjust at the first team level.
Right.
Because they've always brought him up. Essentially, he's been a reserve utility infielder defensive replacement. The story, I guess some of you know this, is his father, he went to high school in Japan. His father is a former teammate of Lions general manager Hisanobu Watanabe from his playing days in Taiwan. So,
I didn't even remember that or realize that. So yeah, it's fun. And
it is fun.
You know, they got a really good start from Katsunori Hirai today, and he held the Hawks down, and they got some runs early and then built on that lead, and they end up sweeping him. So I like what the Lions are doing early, but it is early, and I figured they would score runs. I didn't think it would be a matter of them not being able to score runs. It seems like somehow this particular under Tsuji, they have bangers and they figure out how to put offense together. Their problem is going to be pitching. So,
well, it wasn't just Tonosaki. It's like, it's pretty much, it's Tonosaki and it's Otaka Yamakawa who
Yamakawa went down.
Had the worst, probably the ugliest, not in the sense of you turn off the TV if the kids are in the room, but he misstepped on first base, rounding the bases on a home run. And he rolled his ankle or something.
Oh, well then, yeah, that was one injury, but I think he was deactivated. What I heard was that he had a muscle tear.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere.
Okay, so yeah. I saw that, but he came out of the game with that one. And then Takumi Kuriyama's out.
Right.
And so in spite of, so all these guys are playing who probably wouldn't be playing. And then, of course, Takuya Nakamura does what Takuya Nakamura does. He comes up and he reminds everybody that, you know, he's won 6 home run titles in the Pacific League, and he can put fat pitches far into the far reaches of the outfield seats.
Yep. So, and 6-1-1 for the Lions, and they sit atop the Pacific League, and I think it's kind of shocking, but it's still early, and
yeah, I think so.
Obviously, really early.
But yeah, Kona Takahashi is as good as they could have hoped. Katsunori Hirai has been as good as he hoped. They got a good start. Although, again, another team that really lacks offense, the Nippon Ham Fighters, Wataru Matsumoto pretty much took them to the cleaners. So yes. It's hard to tell. But teams, you know, just like the aforementioned Takahisa Hayakawa of the Eagles looked great in the spring, and he looked great in his first start. You know, teams are going to get to make adjustments to him, and you know, and go through the iterations of adjustments. And I mean, we all think he's going to be able to, but you really don't know from a couple of games. So, but it's fun. I'm enjoying this.
Yep, and then the Lotte Marines, they obviously stumbled coming out of the gate, but, and I think they're actually still stumbling, but they had back-to-back games where they scored 16 runs. So one of them was against the Eagles in the final game of that series, and then the next one was against the Fighters, and blah, blah, blah. They still, I don't think they're where they want to be necessarily, but we'll see them improve, I believe, because that's my team that I picked for the big upset. So I'm going to.
Well, I love that. They brought up a guy who'd been drafted in the taken in the developmental draft, but they needed, you know, they needed the guy to fill in, and he filled in fine. We've got a lot of that this week. I mean, there have been a lot of kind of guys you're going, who is this guy starting?
Yeah, there was a lot. You're right. Not, come to think of it, I didn't think about it at the time because, injuries are going to happen. And I kind of considered that maybe we would see more injuries this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not early on like this, but that there just would be a lot of adjustment period because the guys last year at this time were sitting around. And the body, I think for me, has its own rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that guys were sitting around and now this year, all of a sudden, they're back to doing the things that they're supposed to do. But maybe the body was still in, you know, hey, I liked hanging out and just doing nothing last year. Why are we moving around? So, but I think I kind of anticipated there would be some injuries maybe a month in. But we've seen, I mean, today with Tonosaki, the injury to him, he got hit by a pitch.
True.
Yamakawa was running the bases. Like I said, yeah, he did do the ankle, but I saw something that said he had torn a muscle. Then we had Tomoyuki Sugano of the Giants. He made his opening day start, and then he was deactivated. And I really never could find the actual injury. Everybody,
I was told by somebody with connections to the Giants that it was a knee.
Okay, yeah, I could only find leg, you know, discomfort in his leg.
Yeah, well, you know, last year the whole thing was lack of lower body fitness. You know, that they've got this thing that it's like they treat us as non-beat writers. You know, it's like this code words like if you want to know, you know, join the club or something, otherwise get lost.
Right. Lower body injury. Get out of my face.
Exactly. lack of upper body fitness and lack of lower body fitness and
yeah.
Bad hair. Right. What's next? Bad hair day?
There you go. All right. Well, let's. Oh, yeah. I did want to mention that Takayuki Kishi fired the first shutout of the MPB season, and that was on Tuesday last week. And an 8-hit, no walk effort, 7 strikeouts to beat the Marines. And, you know, he's really, I thought that night I was looking around at some of the starters who were throwing that night, and I said, he's the most accomplished number 4 starter in MPB. And if he stays healthy, I think the numbers are really going to be strong for him. And I could see 14 or more wins if, you know, a normal season, if we get through the whole season the way we should. Yeah. Plus we've got the Olympic break. So I think, he looked really strong. So I was really impressed and happy for him because, of course, he's not that great in interview. Neither is Hideaki Wakui. You know?
No, the Wakui got so much practice last year that he is actually getting good at it. You know, he's got
his facial. He still has to
Port
his face into
okay.
The happy
well,
face
he does, but that's what he does. He's got that dour look. He always looks like
a South Park character. I don't know.
He does
one,
indeed. He's
expressionless South Park character.
There's a scene from Blade from the old Mel Brooks movie Blazing Saddles where Gene Wilder is smoking weed and he's got this sort of sly half grimace half grin on his face, and that's what Wakui has half the time. He's Yathan walks off the mound like did they get a hit off me? The nerve of or maybe it was my fault. Oh, what am I? You know, he looks as confident. He is what it looks like. But no. Wakui pitched. I was really impressed. His second start was really good. It was better than his first. And we saw that, and then we saw Ishikawa, and then we saw Norimoto get a win. And I thought, oh no! I mean, he pitched actually pretty well, and the Eagles basically lucked into a win because everything went right for their relievers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they threw bad pitches that were hit and guys made good catches.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Well, that helps. You know,
sure does. Sure does.
You're not gonna strike out everybody. So
no, you're not. Wednesday. No. Yeah. Luck is a hidden talent, I'm sure.
Right. So it's Wednesday. Well, I'd like to have some of that talent. It was Wednesday, 2-1 win over the Marines at Zozo. But yeah, he did pitch fairly well. I was happy for him in that respect. But I think he came out of the game. I can't remember exactly. Let me see if I can look it up real quick. Yeah, he came off the mound in the seventh inning.
With two runners on and one out.
And he had kind of a, I don't know how to describe it any other way than a happy scowl. Because he looked like he was happy that he won, but he looked like he was upset that he was taken out of the game. And just something to watch as we go through this season.
Yeah, that was one of those games where it was like the Eagles didn't really have a hero. So they put Norma Mojo out there. Pitcher. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I mean, and they had a reliever who got out of that. In fact, two of their relievers got out of two on one out jams basically because their fielders bailed them, you know, got them out of jail.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, you gotta have that sometimes. Let's talk about the Central League real quick before we. Hit a little special topic, a little assignment that Jim had. And we've had this, I guess we can bring up the cluster, two cluster. A little cluster and a cluster.
A swallow-sized cluster and a giant-sized cluster.
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah. So the Giants, well, it was first it was the Swallows. And right. I tweeted out earlier last week that it was, I saw Tetsuto Yamada get deactivated. Sure. I'm like, what? And then it said, a number of guys. So Atsushi Nishiura, Albert Suarez, Tetsuto Yamada, Seiichi Uchikawa. And I'm like, what is going on here? Yeah, Aoki, that's right. Yeah, that was some of their top players. And here they are getting deactivated. And then I saw a story that said that there was a COVID situation. And then obviously Yamada and Nishiura came back, I believe, the next day. Mm-hmm. And that's a special COVID situation,
right? Where you right.
Bring guys back if you deactivate them people, because of COVID.
Yeah, people who are cleared, declared, you know, virus free, get back, can come back at any time. They don't have to wait the normal 10 days.
Yeah, and then this morning on Sunday, it was the Giants who announced some players were going out with COVID situations. And Yoshihiro Maru, Hiroyuki Nakajima. Two regulars, and then Akihiro Wakabayashi, and then we got word that Zealous Wheeler had later tested positive because they started testing everybody. And so it's a cluster, and I'm thinking, well, it's kind of no surprise that these two teams were playing each other, and then they end up with, you know.
Well, I doubt there's a connection.
I wouldn't rule it out.
I wouldn't rule it out, but I doubt there's a connection because it usually takes time.
Sure. Time.
From the time you're infected till the time you can test positive.
Right.
And if they were playing each other, let's say maybe they were together on Thursday, they weren't playing each other. So Friday and then Sunday is probably too short. I think they probably got it elsewhere. But the Swallows were really hit. The minor league team, I believe, has canceled four games because they lack bodies. I believe some of the minor league staff, the team staff on the minor league facility had tested positive, and I don't think they're reporting when minor leaguers are testing positive. So in the first game after the announcement, I think it was the same day, it was the Wednesday, the Swallows were playing at Kamagaya, and I have to give a shout-out again to Deanna Rubin for pointing this out, although many other people did, but I saw hers. You know, she pointed out that the Swallows had a pitcher playing right field as a defensive
tweet.
Yep, as a defensive replacement for the Swallows. And normally in Japan, if your minor league game is at a Pacific League team's park, you use the DH, and you generally you don't use a DH at a Central League team's park, but the Swallows went without a DH at the Fighters minor league facility. And one of my favorite left-handed pitchers, Keiji Takahashi at the Swallows, I think he had the team's first hit.
Yeah.
So anyway, so yeah, it's those two teams were hamstrung. And of course, it didn't stop the Swallows from just beating the daylights out of the DeNA BayStars. Actually, they didn't. They didn't. Well, they kind of beat the daylights out of each other. It's been that kind of week.
Yeah, yeah. Because that day that the day that they announced the Swallows had basically had sent almost half their starters or deactivated half their starters, they went out and beat the BayStars. Mm-hmm. So. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, the BayStars are never going to win if they can't beat the reserves of the Yakult Swallows. But
well, know, it's not that easy. Yeah, the Swallows are, I think they're coronavirus tuned. You know, last year when the Hanshin Tigers had their cluster, mm-hmm. the first day of the announcement, I believe, was the second or third day. It was a few days after they'd made a trip to Nagoya where these infections supposedly took place. And the first game it was announced, Swallows beat the Tigers. So I think they've got that little thing going on. Except today they didn't, obviously, because the Giants announced they had it and they didn't have it. So much for that. Yeah. We can throw that one
out. Yeah, that was Wednesday, a 5-3 win over the BayStars. So, and I just wanted to mention, I talked about the fact that I had the impression that the Dragons were going to struggle, and no other team, it seems, other than the BayStars needs injection, of power than the Dragons, because hopefully Mike Gerber can get here and actually produce for them, because right now watching them try to score runs is like watching molasses drip uphill.
Ooh,
hashtag
high heat.
That's not fair.
Exactly.
That's not fair, I mean, because they do score runs.
But they got runs a couple times. They won one game in the series against the Tigers, and it was, I guess, I don't want to say the hottest hitter on the team, because that's kind of an oxymoron. But
wow,
the guy that had two doubles. That's Takuya Kinoshita, the catcher,
right?
And he knocked in a bunch of runs. But you know, they scored a run today only because the Tigers dropped the ball.
Hey, I have to ask a question. Defense. Who has hit the Dragons' home run this year?
It is Diane Viciedo. He had an opposite field home run. I think that was game one. Yeah, the game one, the opener that they came back to win against the Carp.
Wow.
And that's it. So, and I think they stole a base. I know the BayStars stole a base.
Yeah.
Their first base today. I think the Dragons stole a base recently. So,
well, they've stolen a few, actually. They're okay.
Yeah, but not scoring runs. They had the fewest runs in NPB. I saw that story today, mm-hmm. and they're just, you know, struggling. So they're a hard watch right now. And you did some homework over this past week to look at what I want to call running wild.
Okay.
That's the segment we had. And I think in the prediction show, I had the impression, I said I had the impression the Dragons led the league in outs on the base paths last year. And they just, in so many cases, it seemed like they were trying to draw throws. For instance, if you were the batter and you singled with a runner on second base, you tried to go to second base and instead of having the outfielders throw home to try to cut that run down and make sure that run can score. And there have been other instances where they're running, maybe they double or something, and they try to move over. The runner keeps trying to score. And the batter runner or another runner tries to advance to the next base. And just, it was frustrating because it seemed like not only did they blow possible bigger innings by running into those outs, but they just took the air out of the offense in occasion. So you did some homework, and you can explain what you got real quick and just tell people who made the most outs on the bases in both leagues.
Okay. Basically, it's just a collection of text data from last year's websites. And for every running play, we have different kinds of outs on the bases, and we're not going to count grounded into double plays.
Okay.
Because we kind of consider those automatic, but we will consider caught stealing, picked off, guys doubled off bases on fly balls.
Mm-hmm.
And then other stuff. Which I just call base running outs. Although one could, you know, some of the caught stealing and some of the picked off ones and some of the doubled off base are pretty dumb as well. There's some definitely tout blanc in there. But anyway, long story short, the Pacific League is really the base running out league. Mm. So for all the things they're good at, one of them is that they take more risks on the bases. John was suggesting maybe due to pitchers and whatnot, but the Lotte Marines last year made 25 unattributed outs on the base. Mm. The Hawks were 24. The Dragons led the Central League with 23. Nobody was really close. Giants were 18. The Carp were 17. The Swallows were 16, and so on and so forth. So
I was right. They did run into more bases in the league than anybody else.
They did.
Oh, well. You know, they don't steal bases either. So I guess part of it is about momentum. You know, why stop a slow moving thing that takes a lot of energy to get it going in the first place? It just can't stop. Now, I don't
know.
That
is interesting because the two teams who stole the fewest bases in Japan last year were the Dragons and the Bay Stars. And the Bay Stars were just, I mean, they were an efficient team on the bases. You know, they weren't fast, but they weren't throwing outs away. Whereas the Dragons weren't necessarily that slow, but they were just bad.
All right. Don't remind me. It's a new year. A new year.
That's not. This is last year, folks.
Yes, this is from last year.
No guilt by association. All right,
one note: Ryosuke Kikuchi on Friday, I believe it was, made an error. His first since September of 2019. He went 869 chances without making an error, including a perfect season. That was a truncated season last year, but a 1,000 fielding percentage last year, so no errors. And it was unfortunate. I think, you know, the play he was charging in, and I think even if he catches the ball clean, it's going to be really close. But the scorer ruled it an error, and that was that. So too bad for him. Mm. One of my favorite players, though.
Who's been red hot at the plate.
he's eating people up. He's really having a good one. All right, let's go to fielding questions.
Hashtag high heat.
All right, the question this week is an MP3.
Hey, I hope you guys are well, and thanks as always for the quality content. My better half is from Yokohama, and she's an avid fan of the DeNA BayStars, but this week she's been playing Armchair Manager more often than not, so I think you can already see where my question's going. Put simply, what is it going to take for this team to get a win? Is the manager Daisuke Mura right to claim responsibility? Do the starting and relief pitchers need to perform better? Or is it the strength of the missing foreign contingent, the likes of Soto, Austin, and Escobar, that really make the difference? Thanks again, and look forward to the next episode.
All right, Jack, thank you very much. Sounded really good there. So what does it take to get a win? Well, they got one today, obviously. Mm-hmm. Jack sent this in probably a little bit before that game was over, or he made the tape before it was over. But the Bay Stars got a 3-1 victory over the Carp today. So what it takes is what we saw today. It takes a really strong starting pitcher, or a strong effort from the starting pitcher.
Which they've gotten a few. I mean, but most of these parts are parts that are there. Oh, why should I start now?
Yeah, let me finish. Why should I start now? I don't know why. But yeah, it takes a good effort from the starting pitcher. It takes good bullpen work. It takes a great catch in the outfield. It takes good defense. It takes hitting. Now, it doesn't always have to be a couple of home runs, but you got to get some of those runs in. And just like Jim said, they've been getting these things all this season while they were not able to win those first eight in any of the first eight games, losing six.
Well, the bullpen has been pretty lame.
But they've had moments. The bullpen has had its moments.
Well, they had moments today.
Been able to put it together.
I mean, they had moments today. They allowed a run in four innings, but it was a it was a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a combination to answer the question of all these things. I think part of it is Miura's fault. And I think somebody pointed it out on one of the news shows that I watched where they could have maybe pinch hit or brought in somebody else to pitch. But Miura didn't do that. We've seen the bullpen explode. That's nothing new. That has been a problem for that team for a while. But when you talk about the fact that Soto and Austin and Escobar and Peoples are not there, that's a big deal. And I think particularly because the pen kind of it sets up around Escobar because he can power through some of those big. They bring him in to situations, not necessarily in innings. I don't know what Miura's plan for him is, but that was what Ramirez did with Alex Ramirez did. So, and I don't see any reason that Miura would not decide, okay, well, I want to use him to get out of trouble and out of jams. And he comes in with guys on base a lot. Soto obviously was a core player in your lineup. And so was Austin when he was playing. Those pieces are important. So I'm really not blaming Miura for this. He can say whatever he wants about taking responsibility. And I remember tweeting something out about this past week, but you can only take so much of the blame. It's the players obviously have to, whether they're doing poorly or they're doing great, the players have to do it. You know, the manager can't go out there and do it himself.
But the manager can say it's all his fault, which is a positive. Because, you know, these players put enough pressure on themselves. You know, they don't need the manager. You know, they don't need, okay, sorry, Bobby. They don't need saying, it's not my fault. So I like that. He can say, you know, he could have actually said in more detail, actually said, you know, he could have done what Tito Franco did with the Red Sox when Manny Ramirez did weird stuff. He'd say, it was my fault. I told him the wrong thing. You know, he'd make up excuses to cover his players. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows it was an excuse, but it sends a message to the players. You're not out of the doghouse, but I'm not going to make your life any more difficult than it has to be. And, sure. You know, and he could have easily said, you know, I didn't have the players prepared the way for the roles I used them in. There were miscommunications. It's 100% my fault. This is a team game and we're working on it. You know, that's really the ideal thing. There are some managers who'll say, well, that was his job. He screwed it up. I'm not taking the blame. We know those guys are there
and we know they're there. I'm not judging the Bay Stars on what's happening now. I don't think this is their team and this was not the plan coming out, but I can tell you this, Shugo Maki looks like a guy they won't be able to take out of the lineup when the cavalry does arrive.
Yep.
And for obviously he's a polished player in terms of playing for a long time. He's 22, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Came out of college.
Yep.
I'll check that as we speak. And he just seems poised. And they were talking about today on the broadcast the fact that he's knocking in a bunch of runs. Well, of course he's knocking in a bunch of runs. They made a big deal about him having 9 or 10 runs batted in 9 games. And I'm like, well, the guy's all over the bases and he's getting hits. They have to be 70-year-old guys, you know, in wheelchairs not to be able to score. they're going to score. He hasn't really hit for all that much power, but he's got a few doubles. He has a home run. He looks good. And I think that's a good problem when Soto and Austin get back. Where do they play Maki? You know, where?
Oh, I thought you were about Michael.
Does he go to the outfield?
Right. No. Well, that's Maki. I think how it's gonna. Well, I think the odd man out is gonna be. It's gonna be Taiki Sekine as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll be Austin in right field. It'll be Soto at first base, and I think they're gonna say, "Well, okay, Shugo Maki, you're gonna be our second baseman." And because as he was playing there a lot in the spring, and I suppose he could handle it. I guess they could always put. I mean, Soto was the worst second baseman in Japan last year, so that's really
statistically, yes.
Yeah. So well, okay, I mean, he's just not really. I mean, he.
That's not his best position. But
no, it's not his best position. But that's like saying, I mean, that's like saying going into a season and saying Casey McGee's going to be our second base, and it's not an ideal situation. It's a solution to a problem.
Right.
Right. So, you don't want to start it. You know, if that's your best solution, well, okay, then we understand your defense is going to be lousy, and that is a problem with the Bay Stars. So yeah, no, it's not all Mira's fault, but he's the best person to take all the blame for it, and I mean that in 100% the best way. He'll figure things out. The biggest problem I see is probably need a psychotherapist for their relievers, because they got guys who can throw good pitches. And I'll just say this. I'll say Yasuaki Yamasaki has come back and he's thrown better pitches this year than he threw all of last year. Well, I should say after maybe the first couple of weeks of the season, but he's thrown better pitches than he has in 11 months. His command has been poor, but we've seen that at least the pitches are moving, at least that he's got the balls he needs. You know, he's got the pitches, they say balls all the time in Japan. He's got the pitches he needs to get people out, but he needs a little more work. He needs a little more confidence being back. I'm very surprised that Kenta Nishida has been a one-man arson squad in there because he's been Mr. Reliable pretty much for the last few, you know, pretty much ever since he turned after his second year. Mm-hmm. And then Kazuki Mishima looked dangerous today, which, so he hasn't, it's kind of a collective, it's been kind of a collective, bonfire and which means, and all of these guys can pitch, and I have no reason to think that by the end of the season, all three of them won't be pitching well. So, you know, it's not like, you know, maybe they've got Steve Sachs disease, which is the inability to throw to first base. I don't know.
Yeah, Maki, he's going to turn 23 on the 21st of this month. So he's just a poised kind of ready to play guy. And I like what I've seen from him, but it's a long season. And the other thing, like you're talking about the bullpen, it's going to really help to get Escobar in there and put him into that mix. That's going to change.
Yeah. And I think
you won't have to bring in,
I think the psychological dynamic of having him in the bullpen too, it makes that, you know, is like what Stephen Moya said, you know, we're all doing our job, but when you feel like you got to do more and you got somebody in Edwin's just a wonderful guy and a great teammate. And I think that's going to be a plus.
Right. But Jack, I would just tell your wife, don't despair, but don't have, I still look at the rotation and I'm thinking, you know, the guys 2 years ago, even 3 years ago, who were pitching really great and helping this team get to as far as it got, you know, close to winning the Central League championship early on in the Ramirez years, and then to the Japan series, and all those guys are gone. Those starting pitchers are not around at the moment. A couple of them might come back, so we're looking at a whole different rotation here. And the guys they're bringing out there right now, they're just getting by, and that's the one thing.
Yeah, I mean, they're putting guys out there who probably need, you know, confidence building starts, and they're told, you know, go out and do your best. And some of them are getting their butts kicked and it's not building their confidence.
Yeah. The guy who won the game today, Kosuke Sakaguchi, you know, not a lot of experience. He wasn't really exactly sharp. I said it was a strong, he threw five innings, but 112 pitches. He barely got through those five innings. You know, they just—it's a learning process. So just take a deep breath and let's try to look at this team when it has its full complement of players, and then have managerial exercises on the sofa there. What did he say? His wife is playing armchair manager or something like that.
Okay, so far, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So far,
make your
so
pitching
good.
Changes. You know, make your pitching changes from the couch, but keep in mind that you know. sometimes they're not going to work out. All right. Thanks so much for the question. Really sounded good, Jack. Hopefully you'll send some more questions. Anyone else that has a question, hit us up at JBW Podcast on Twitter with the hashtag High Heat. Send via email to yakyujohn@gmail.com or hit us up on the Facebook page. Again, go to wherever you get your podcast, rate, give us a follow, and review the podcast, positive or negative. We don't care. It's been great. I've really enjoyed these first 9 games. Can't wait to see the full the teams go through the entire rotation and play each other. So that'll finish up with the series that end next week. So we'll talk to you then. Enjoy your baseball.
And see you at jballallen.com and at the ballpark if you're lucky.
Follow the hosts on Twitter at JBW Podcast and at jballallen. And feel free to submit your questions by email or tweet with hashtag High Heat. Thank you for listening to Japan Baseball Weekly.